Welcome back, Football Monday on this Tuesday here on WGR. Bills 3-0 after their romp over, the newspapery word back in the day would be listless. Jacksonville Jaguars team. How about pathetic? Ross Tucker on the line. Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Ross, how was your latest visit to Western New York?
Well, I would say uneven. I was very happy to meet you in person, Mike, which was fantastic, and I can't believe that never happened before. So I'm two for two, getting a chance to finally meet you guys in person, which is always great when I'm going to be on the phone. I thought the Bills press box food was outstanding, and you can get a full report on today's Raw Sucker Football podcast and or see the video at Ross Tucker NFL on social media. I mean, the pretzel bread, ham and cheese sliders, delicious. The wings were very good. I'm a big fan of how they have celery with wings.
Oh, yeah.
It balances each other out. You know, it's like celery evidently has no calories, so you literally are burning calories while you eat it. So my thing is I go wing, celery stick, wing, celery stick. It's like if I'm drinking, I'll go beer, water. Alternating is key. So everything was positive until the game started. Now, I say this all the time, like as a broadcaster, okay, I know every Bills fan loved it and it was great. As a broadcaster, I would do like the close competitive games. I don't want to say for free, but the close competitive games are fun. And I would do them at like a greatly reduced rate. Let's say that. Okay.
Yeah.
Games like last night, that's when we make our money. I mean, I had more life in the booth than the Jaguars did on the field. I was stunned by that. On my Even Money betting podcast, I took the Jags getting 5.5 points. Because, you know, that's just the way the NFL works, right? There's going to be more 2-1 and 1-2 teams than there are 3-0, 0-3 teams. We saw that, for example, like the Broncos going into Tampa and winning that game. And that's just the way the NFL is, right? We know that Carolina went, the Giants. I mean, all these winless teams went on the road and got these wins. Well, guys, the Jags did not get the memo. I mean, after the first drive, I looked at the play-by-play guy and said, we're in trouble. So just so everybody knows, what you root for as a broadcaster, okay? I root for the best game possible, but no overtime so I can make my flight and or get home, right? that's literally what I root for. And last night was the opposite of that. Sure, there's part of me where it's fun to see the Bills, you know, this good and performing this well, and I think that's very cool, but I'll never appreciate or like when an NFL team approaches a game the way the Jaguars did last night. That was very, very disappointing.
Well, seeing as we're starting here, we'll get to what the Bills did well and how different it looks from other seasons where they've been also been a top-level contending-type team. I said a few times today and even last night, Ross, that performance by Jacksonville is a coach gets fired kind of performance to me. Like they just were dead on their feet.
So a couple things. Number one is I literally tweeted that second quarter at Ross Tucker NFL. I said primetime games, primetime blowouts get people fired. And I wasn't necessarily saying Doug Peterson, you know, maybe it's a coordinator, maybe it's the GM. I'm not calling out any one individual, but in my experience, okay, typically if you get absolutely embarrassed in a primetime game like that, usually the ownership is so embarrassed that a lot of times it does lead to changes. And to someone getting fired, I was just stunned. I mean, they're 0-2. They've lost their last seven games. I kind of thought they were going to come out flying around. It's Monday Night Football in a primetime game. The first drive, both ways, it was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they hardly ever seemed like they even got the Bills in the third down. And even when they did, the Bills converted so easily. That looked like my high school against some of the high schools that stink. That looked like Ohio State against New Mexico Military Institute. It was bad.
Ross Tucker, so the theme, you've already gotten into it. The theme this year in like survivor pools is just, it's devastation. Joe Ostrowski runs one, high stakes, 206 people. He's down to 7 in 3 weeks. The escape route is the Bills. They are now up to 44 games in a row where they have not lost by more than 6 points. And I don't know what that is ultimately worth, Ross. One thing that's memorable about our conversations last year, and you said a couple times, you just rhetorically, the Bills will go to the playoffs. They're going to play Kansas City. They're going to play Cincinnati. Can you see them winning? You know, bottom line. And you were kind of like, I don't think so. And that happened. And is this year different, or is it too early to even go there?
I don't think it's too early to go there. A couple things real quick. Number one, you know, I've been critical in the past of some of the things with Sean McDermott. That stat that you just gave, that's an incredible Sean McDermott stat.
Yeah.
Incredible. Because what that tells you, and I mean positive, mm-hmm. what that tells you is he always has them prepared from a scheme standpoint, right? Like, they have a good enough scheme and game plan for the game that they're going to be competitive. That's number one. And then number two, mentally and emotionally ready to play. I mean, that is extremely impressive. I mean, extremely impressive to me. That's a great stat. I would also say I can see the Bills winning this year against those teams. I mean, Cincinnati's having major struggles, but there's something that feels a little bit different, and I'm probably as surprised as anyone that I've called it Bills 2.0, you know, with no more Morse, no Gabe Davis, no Stephon Diggs, you know, no Poyer, no Hyde, no Tre'Davious White. I mean, you're talking about six starters right there that, you know, have been starters, it seems like, for the last 4 years that they don't have anymore. But there's something special about this team right now. Part of it is they're running it better. And it really started with Joe Brady getting the job last year. He wasn't one step ahead of the Jags defensive coordinator last night. He was two steps ahead. I mean, he is impressive. And then, so they're running it better. And then when they do throw it, they're spreading it around more. And how about two games in a row where Josh didn't even get close to having any turnover-worthy plays? Not only did he not have turnovers, guys, none of those plays were even close. I said this last night during the broadcast. I've said to you guys a million times, and I said it on CBS during the Cardinals game when he fumbled. I said, this is just part of the Josh Allen experience. This is who he is, and you got to live with it for better or for worse. You know, after these last two games, both of which I've watched every play and called them on radio, you know, maybe he has changed a little bit. You know, maybe being able to spread the ball around to a bunch of people, maybe the run game, maybe he's not going to have the costly turnovers that hurt them so much. And then the defense is a whole other story. I mean, they don't have their three best defensive players. They don't have their entire second level of the defense, and they're still just totally stuffing these teams, which give a lot of credit to McDermott and to Bobby Babich. I mean, he's a first-time D coordinator, and the Cardinals moved the ball on them, but the Cardinals are pretty good. Since really the first half of the Cardinals game, it feels like that's now, what, 10 quarters in a row mm-hmm. where Bobby Babich's defense has more or less put these teams on lockdown.
with Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Something that really stood out to me last night, Ross, from Allen specifically, we've all seen him make the spectacular plays that you can't believe and leaping over tall buildings and the single bound and all that stuff. The precision last night, obviously he had a ton of time to operate with, but the ball to Shakir for the touchdown, the Coleman touchdown, the Ty Johnson touchdown, everything was just right where it needs to be. Like, those guys weren't wide open. They were open, but not like, you know, just put it wherever you want. And they didn't have to break stride. I mean, even the Cook dropped a ball in the end zone that was also just dropped right in the bucket. It was just a different Allen. Not that we haven't seen him be really accurate before, but, man, I just felt like it was precision at another level than we're even used to from him.
Well, I agree, but I'm going to take it a step further and kind of go back to what I was saying about the maturity and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he not only did he not have any turnover-worthy plays, but when he ran, I want to say multiple times he slid.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times he ran out of bounds. He didn't even put himself really in harm's way. And there were plays where I said, you know, second half, I said, you know, the old, or I guess the young Josh Allen, he would have thrown the ball to somebody there. He would not have been able to do what he did there and just thrown the ball away. Or I said he would have tried to run for that first down or that touchdown and jump over somebody or run through somebody. And maybe it was because they had such a big lead that he didn't do that. You know, that might be part of it. But, man, if they can get that Josh Allen, if he's a little bit less reckless with both the ball and his body, I'm very, very excited for you guys.
Well, I wonder if he's got the left hand in the glove and the middle two fingers are taped together. And to me, I feel like, especially the first slide of the game on the third and five run, the quarterback draw on the first drive, I felt like he's going down and he's covering that left hand. Like, he might know he can't take a shot on it. So I think that might be, like, and I hope it continues even when the hand is healthy, because it's good to see him preserving himself. But I think the hand could be a reason why he's being like you're describing.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, we can't keep hurting his hand so that he keeps doing it. That's not a good option. But right. Maybe we can at least maybe him at least having to protect it and playing this way, maybe that's enough so that he goes ahead and learns that he can play this way. Because, you know, the other thing about it, guys, I want him to play for a long time. He's probably my favorite player in the NFL. So I love that he's not being as reckless with his body. And yes, that is part of what makes him so entertaining. And on some level, so is the turnovers. But I'd rather see 90 to 95% Josh Allen for 10 more years than 100% Josh Allen for 5 more, if that makes sense.
Ross, it's Baltimore now on Sunday night. The Bills go at Baltimore, at Houston, at the Jets, their next three. Now, I'm with you on Jacksonville's performance. Just like, it was fun. It was easy. But I don't know what, like, the merits of it. The Ravens have had an interesting start. A couple of things there, it seems. Their offensive line is in rough shape. They're getting thrown on. Mark Andrews doesn't seem to mean anything anymore. 4 routes against Dallas. So maybe there's a little bit of a transition moment for the Ravens. Maybe it's one we kind of expected the Bills to struggle with this year, but not really so far. The line didn't move, and I think you would maybe have noticed that or found that interesting. Bills win 47-10. It's still Ravens minus 2.5.
That I did think that was interesting. You know, the Mark Andrews thing, I can't imagine. He's got to be hurt. I mean, I don't know what else there could be there. I know they really like Likely, but otherwise, I mean, trade him. You know, he'd be the best tight end for like 20 teams, you know?
Yeah.
And people would really use him. So that situation's bizarre to me. I haven't studied them close enough to see if they have him blocking a little bit more, which wouldn't surprise me with the three new guys on the offensive line, because that's been a factor for them.
Yep.
Certainly breaking in those new guys on the offensive line has made it a little bit of a transition year for sure. And that's one reason why I thought the Chiefs were sort of uniquely positioned to be able to three-peat this year, is that it felt like both the Ravens and the Bills were having a transition year from a personnel standpoint. The Bills, it seems like it's gone flawlessly, at least so far. The Ravens, not as much, although that was pretty impressive, you know, the way they were dominating Dallas for most of that game. But then they had this weird thing where they get really close. Like they either blow the game or almost blow the game every week. It's really bizarre. They get a lot of early leads, and then they have a trouble hanging on to them, which is so weird.
Do you have this game, or are you and the Bills taking some time apart?
We're finally taking some time apart. I have a doubleheader, so I've got Browns at Raiders for CBS Sunday 4:25. So you guys can check that out. And then two more Monday nights in a row. This Monday night I have Titans at the Dolphins, which is not a good game on paper. They're both in the bottom five of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast power rankings. But two things. One is, there's a pretty good chance it'll at least be competitive, which I'd settle for.
Right.
And number two, you got to throw out the records when getting out of the basement in the Ross Tucker Football Podcast power rankings are on the line. I mean, that's what these teams are really playing for. Forget playoffs or seeds. I mean, they care greatly about my arbitrary power rankings, and they want to move up.
You'll be in the air a lot, it sounds like.
Yes, I will. Out to Vegas Friday, red eye from Vegas to Miami Sunday night. Do the game Monday night, or Tuesday afternoon or morning, back to Pennsylvania. It's been sort of a theme so far. Although I just looked and it's 100 in Vegas and 90 in Miami right now. So I'm going from, I guess, hot and dry. Oh, I'm going from like rainy and kind of gross around here, like it was in Buffalo last night, too. Hot and dry, and then hot and humid. I have no idea. I did the Bills-Dolphins game, as you guys know, last Thursday. I have no idea how people live down there. I mean, I was outside for 2 minutes, and I was miserable. I was, like, drenched in sweat. There's no – I would take 10 showers a day if I lived in South Florida. I mean, I don't know how those people live.
I don't know either. People in Vegas ought to be in a really good mood after they, had the big dramatic win to come back and beat Baltimore and then get beat by Andy Dalton in Carolina. So, real quick, what did you think of Antonio Pierce with the business decision comment after the game?
Well, I mean, he and I were teammates in Washington. We both made as undrafted rookie free agents with Marty Schottenheimer. So. He doesn't really mince his words. He and I got along well because we both really, really loved football, had an edge, and had a belief as to the way it should be played. He was not the most physically gifted guy, but was super smart and played really hard. So he probably has a low tolerance for guys that don't play as hard as they should, or don't want to hit, don't want to tackle, and that's the way I am as well. When I watch offensive linemen that won't finish their blocks, it drives me nuts. So he probably saw it, called it out. He was asked about it yesterday, and he said, I didn't bite my tongue, I meant what I said. So now I'm curious to see. I watched the game. I, there's a couple plays maybe where guys passed up tackles a little bit. It wasn't that obvious to me, so I'll be curious to get out there and find out what changes he makes and who he's talking about.
I think it's Adams. There's new updated live betting on where he's going. The Jets are the heavy favorite. I wonder if you'll get those vibes this weekend. We will talk next week and find out. Thank you, Ross. Great meeting you.
Sounds great. Absolutely, Mike. I'm glad you texted me. Thank you so much. Talk to you guys next week.
All right, there you go. There's our man, Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May yo game day be delicious. And in part by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com.
What did last night mean to the MVP odds? Lots of MVP chants echoing around the stadium all night. 803-0550, we'll hit that and talk some more after sports. No Taron Johnson or Terrell Bernard against Baltimore. Sean McDermott made that known a few minutes ago. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.